You know, the new year is a time for a new beginning. Some people set resolutions or make resolutions, make some changes in their lives, and it is a good time for us to sort of begin to review ourselves and our lives, take inventory of the situation. Businesses and others have to take inventory at this time of the year. Their sales and their losses and their expenses, and list that unsold merchandise, the inventory which they have, determine how successful that they have been in the past and how that they can be more successful in the coming year. I think God encourages Christians as well. We need to take inventory of our lives, not necessarily at the beginning of a new year, but that seems an appropriate time to do it, because it's something on our mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Examine yourselves," or "test yourselves, as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves," or "test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified, or unless you fail the test, or unless you're reprobate," I believe the King James translation says. So here's instructions to them to test themselves, take inventory of their lives, make sure that Jesus Christ is really abiding within them. So it seems that's appropriate for us to do as well. Each and every Christian ought to do it. In Galatians 6 and verse number 4, likewise we find instructions written to the Galatians saying, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." So we need to examine our work. We need to look at ourselves and see how that we are doing. Reset some goals, perhaps. We need to reevaluate our spiritual progress and our spiritual growth. We've been studying in our adult class in Romans chapter 5, and again, I commend that class to you. Every Christian needs to be studying from that book. But it's studied there in regards to growth and the warnings given of what can happen to us, how we can fall away and so fall away that we cannot be renewed to repentance if we do not grow and make progress spiritually. So we need to stop sometimes and to evaluate our spiritual growth and progress, to set some goals and to make some plans. Maybe we need to evaluate our spiritual strength, to make corrections that need to be made. So this morning I want us to look at this just a little bit. How important are goals to us? Do we as Christians need to have some goals? Does the Lord's body need to have some goals? And to challenge you, I want to challenge in each and every one to set some goals. You know, goals are very important. I heard one fellow talking about he was going to get on a plane. I don't remember what city it was headed for. It seemed like it was Atlanta, Georgia or someplace, and he was going to get on the plane. And you know, he says, "When I board that plane this afternoon, I sure hope that pilot has the same goal in mind that I do. And I hope when I get on that plane, he's going to fly that thing to Atlanta, Georgia, and he's not going to just get up there someplace and being a wandering generality, not really know where he's going." Well, that's important, to know where we are going and what goals that we have. We're never going to know whether we get to where we're going if we don't have any goals. And most of us are not going to like where we arrive if we do not set some goals with where we want to arrive. You know, the Lord made plans, and he's our example. We need to look at this. God made plans. He set some goals. He planned for our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." In other words, he made some plans before the foundation of this world, it says here, that in Jesus Christ we should be saved, that in him we should be holy and before him without blame. And that he marked out from before the beginning that we should be adopted to be the sons of God, adopted to him to be his sons by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. That was his will, his plan, his goal that he set before the world began, that through Jesus Christ we should have the hope of eternal salvation. So God set some goals. He made some plans. And whenever the church was established, whenever Jesus came, Christ came into the world, he came for a purpose, didn't he? He didn't just happen here upon this earth one day. He was working the plan of God, and he had a purpose for his coming. He had a plan, a goal, something to be accomplished. And after he had accomplished that goal and died for us, died as our Savior up on the cross according to God's plan, he then ascended back to heaven. But before he did so, he gave some plans. He set some goals for his disciples, something for them to accomplish. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Here was his plan. Here's the work that he made some great plans for his disciples, particularly for the 12 apostles here, as he sent them to go and preach the gospel to every creature, to all the world, and teach them to observe everything that he had taught. So Jesus left a work for us to do. He left a plan, a goal, something for us to accomplish. And then after his resurrection in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, shortly before he ascended back to heaven, he said to the apostles, "You're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world." Here was the plan. You're to start in Jerusalem. He told them to wait here in Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. And you're to be my witnesses here. And here was the plan. First was Jerusalem, then out to Samaria, to Judea, then out to Samaria, and then to all of the world. So the Lord had a plan. He had a goal, something that he wanted accomplished. He had individual plans for various churches and various men. In Acts chapter 13, in verse number 2, he said, for example, through the Holy Spirit to the church at Antioch, he said, "You separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." He says, "I've got to work for Barnabas and Saul. And use the spiritual leaders here of this church. You set them aside apart for this work." He was sending them out on that first missionary journey and in accomplishing these plans of preaching the gospel to all the world. Now, the Lord does not just play things by ear. He doesn't just follow the drift or the stream of things or the tide as it's going along. He's always had a plan for this world, a goal to be accomplished. And he pulls the strings and he has plans for individuals' lives and for each one of us to accomplish various things. He has plans for churches, for the work to be done in fulfilling his plan of preaching the gospel to all the world, of salvation of all of mankind. That's his goal. That's his plan. He plans ahead. He sets goals, and he makes things happen according to that plan. We too must set some goals. We too must individually make some plans. The Apostle Paul made some plans. In Romans, in the first chapter, verses 9 through 15, he talks about his plans of wanting to go to Rome. He said he had a desire to see them. He wanted to impart to them some spiritual gift. And he was praying that it might be the Lord's will that that could be accomplished. He says, "As much as in me is, I want to preach the gospel to those of you who are in Rome." He had a goal. He had a plan. This is what he wanted to accomplish. But let's zero in on one of the the big goal. Read with me from Ephesians, the third chapter. Turn with me to this passage here and see the goal, the big goal that Paul held before him and before that he wanted to accomplish above all. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 7. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7. Paul says, "But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. For indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ." Now his goal helps him to know what's important in his life. He says, things that might have been important for me, building up my flesh and giving me a name and a reputation and so forth, or financial gain and riches, they're all loss. That's not according to my goal. I want to gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Here's what Paul wanted above all else. He says, I want to know him, Christ Jesus my Lord. I want to be like him. I want to participate in the power of his resurrection, in his suffering, conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, that's all my ultimate goal, to attain from the resurrection of the dead. And then he says, not that I've already attained. He says, I haven't reached this state yet, nor am I already made perfect. But I press on that I may lay hold on that which Christ also has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He says, I haven't reached my goal. I haven't got a hold of what I want yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Paul says, my goal is to attain the resurrection of the dead, to obtain that prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Every one of us need to have goals. I have some goals in my life. A man by the name of Maxwell Waltz wrote a very good book called Psycho-Cybernetics. I won't try to explain what he means by that, but he made some very profound statements. One of the things that he pointed out is that he was pointing out the need for us to have goals. And he said it's just like an interceptor missile. Our life is just like the interceptor missile. And that missile, you'll remember doing the war a couple of years ago, whenever Iraq was sending those rockets over into Israel and other countries there, Saudi Arabia, but they had some interceptor missiles that they shot out. And those things had a goal. They had a target. Their target was that big rocket that was coming in to try to explode it before it hit on the ground. And it sought out that target. If it was going the wrong direction, it would correct itself and zoom in and hit that thing and explode it. And those smart bombs which they used, they had a target. And they'd correct themselves and guide them right into the target so it exploded, blew up the thing that they wanted destroyed. Now this man is saying that goals do that for us in our lives, that we need goals in order to accomplish that which we want to accomplish. And if we don't have goals, you know, we're just like that interceptor rocket, you know, it's liable to spew, go circle around here and come back down and explode ourselves. You know, it's not going to blow up in the wrong place. A member of the Lord's church by the name of Ron Willingham also wrote a book entitled Life is What You Make It. And he pointed out some needs for goals that we have in our lives. He said they'll help us to concentrate our efforts on that, on the goal, what we're, so we don't spend time doing something out here that doesn't accomplish our goal. It'll help us to become more excited and enthusiastic as we move toward our goal. It'll give us self-confidence. We can feel confidence as we start moving toward our goal. It'll make our decisions more easily. I don't want to do this because it doesn't help with my goal. Or this is the thing I'm going to do. It moves me toward my goal. Makes decisions easier. And it builds desire. It instills desire for us to reach our goals. So he says we all need goals. And yet, over 95% of people, they tell us, live life without really any goals. We're just here. We don't know who we are, what we're trying to accomplish, or where we want to be 10 years from now, or 50 years from now, or 100 years from now. We're just here, we're existing. We need some goals, like Paul's. I'm sure that many of you have heard me speak about my goals as well. My goals, based upon Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, is to join a great crowd of witnesses one day. As Paul spoke there, seeing that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. There he's talking about those great men of faith. Abraham, Moses, all those in that Hebrews chapter 11, all of those great men of faith, a great cloud of witnesses. He says they're like watching, and as we run the race here upon this earth, I want to join that great crowd of witnesses one day. I want to go as a part of a great cloud of witnesses to heaven. There's people that I can think of all over God's earth that I want to be a part of that great cloud of witnesses, that we can join the Lord one day in heaven and there be with Him throughout eternity. People all the way to Africa, people in Tennessee that I've known where I preached the gospel, in Kansas, all over the state of Oklahoma and Missouri, where I've known Christians and preached the gospel. See, a great cloud of witnesses be there one day in heaven above. That's my goal. The words of a song, you'll notice there's an extra song up there, number 708, isn't that it? Call your attention to that song. I forgot to bring the song, but it says, when we all get to heaven. You know, that ought to be the goal of each and every Christian. I don't know what your goal is. A lot of Christians don't know really where they're headed. A lot of us are doing things here upon this earth just to take care of food and clothing and shelter, and we're not looking beyond the daily needs. We're not looking beyond the clouds, that ultimate goal that ought to keep us moving toward it. And our goal needs to be, as the words of this song here state, when we all get to heaven, we want to see Jesus. When we all see Jesus, that ought to be the goal of each and every one of us. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Is that your goal? Ought to be the goal of every Christian. Let's sing this together, David.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercies and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a plan. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
If heaven's not your goal, you know, if you don't keep that goal before you, how do you know that what you're doing is the right thing today? You see, our goal determines all we do and all we say as we try to move toward that goal. We must use today to see our goals fulfilled. We need to have shorter goals to help us to reach that ultimate goal. Today, my goals need to be one little step toward that ultimate goal, to have a more closer, intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father. My goals are to spend more time in prayer, more time in study, and to develop a greater trust in Him as I move toward that goal of being one day in heaven with Him. I want to be a more effective servant of God, more teaching of the lost. I want to do a better job of motivating and training Christians to be able to save the lost and to grow in their faith, and to do all I personally can to contribute to the growth of the Lord's church. Having goals are some individuals, and I can give you names of people. I want to see them obey the gospel and become Christians in 1993. Goals to be accomplished. Collectively as a congregation, we need to have goals. The church and the scriptures that we've already seen had goals, and the goals set for them by the Lord. We have some goals that we'd like to see in this congregation. That main overall goal, as we've already talked about, is to see every member to remain faithful unto the end, all the way, and join that great cloud of witnesses in heaven above. Faithful and saved in heaven. That's our goal. And elders of this congregation hope that you'll join us in that goal of seeing that accomplished. Now, to help us to accomplish that, there's some other things that we have as goals that we'd like to see accomplished and done. One is we want to strengthen the ties in the body of Christ itself. We have a goal of trying to knit this body together in a greater love, greater ties, stronger ties, so that we can be like a support group, so that we don't get weighted down with sin and people's thinking of this, who are just living for this world, so that we can help one another to overcome all the obstacles here and move toward that goal of one day being with the Lord in heaven. You know, here a while back I went to listen to a man who was doing a parenting seminar. He pointed out the importance to us of our children being in the right cultural subgroup, because he's talking about how important that the children are that your own children run with. He says every community, in every school, there's different subcultures. You get to some who are involved in the preppy culture, for example. You get some who are the a drug culture and a dropout culture. You get others, a group of children that are trying to make good grades and make a life for themselves and are honest and so forth. And he was saying, try to make sure that your children get in the right subculture at school. We have a number of our children here involved in the band, which seems to be a good influence, for example, upon our children. And they sort of knit together and support one another. A support group, you see. Every child needs a support group. Every Christian needs a support group. That's what the church is all about, to be a support group, a subculture, to help us on our road to heaven. That's one of the goals we want to see accomplished, to have a stronger ties in the body of Christ. Secondly, we are interested in greater ministry to the needs of our people to help them overcome various problems. Families in trouble and parenting. These are concerns that we have and we'd like to see accomplished. We'd like to be able to help provide more help to those who are enslaved and addicted to various problems and difficulties. We'd like to see more efforts to support our young people and to support that, to make knit them together as a group that can stand against the world. At one time in the last year, we were all excited about the possibility that looked like that maybe the door was going to open up for us, that we might be able to have an associate minister of the congregation and a house in which he might be able to stay and have an arrangement much like what they have up at Kingfisher with Brother Unsel and the young man that's in training up there. And we'd be able to have a young man that would be able to help working with our young people, for example, and to have a greater support for them. But that fell through, and it didn't materialize, and contributions seem to be down in the Lord's body and so forth now. But that's one of our goals. We want to see that accomplished, to help our young people and them reach the goal of being in heaven one day. And then we want to work with restoring those that are weak and wandering. These are goals that we have within this congregation that we of elders have talked about and we'd like to see accomplished. And I'm sure that there are others, but these are immediate needs that we see and we'd like to have a part in and hope you'll join us in those efforts. But I want to challenge you to take inventory of your life. Evaluate yourself and set your goals. What are you really after in life? Is your goal just to be able to take care of the physical needs, a better house, a bigger car, the just earthly things? I pray that they're not, and I'm sure that they're not for 99% of us. We need to make our goal eternal goals. But take inventory of your relationship with the Lord and your spiritual condition. Set a goal. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to spend eternity? And move toward that. The Lord planned for your salvation. You know, the Lord made plans for the children of Israel to enter the promised land. Many of them didn't work in accordance with the Lord's plans, but they lacked faith in God. God has planned for you to be saved and to be in heaven. The Lord said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Peter wrote, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you saved. That's his plan. That's his desire. What is your plan? I challenge you to start today. Make heaven your goal. And each day that you live, take one step toward reaching that goal of being in heaven throughout eternity. But start today. If today you're not a Christian, then take the steps you need today. Don't harden your heart. Do what needs to be done today toward reaching that goal. If you are a Christian, shine that goal. Think about it. Renew your hope of reaching eternity and being there throughout eternity in heaven above. We invite you to come if we can assist you in reaching out toward that goal. Will you not do so? While we stand now, while we sing.
There's a fountain free just for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? This for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? This for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me and this stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.